As you may remember from your study of ancient history, one of the most famous battles was the Battle of Marathon. There, the Persians under Darius I had eyes on Greece. When the people of Athens realized the invasion by the Persians was imminent, they sent word to their neighbors, the Spartans, to come to their aid. But the Spartans chose not to join forces. They stayed at home until the battle was done. The Athenians had to do it alone. Listening to the gospel today, we could say Jesus must have felt like the Athenians. There, the gospel tells us that tons of people refused to follow him. We know it was the lowest point for Jesus in the Gospel of St. John. Abandoned by many, we see that Jesus is left with only a handful, 12 in fact, when just the day before there were thousands that he had fed. We hear him ask a question of the remaining 12. Do you also want to leave? We can hear the pain in his voice as he sees this small band of brothers that stands before him where not that long ago so many others stood. The evangelist gives us the reason for the mass exodus. They found Jesus' words too hard, difficult. He asked too much of them. When the famous mathematician Euclid was tutoring Ptolemy I, the king complained about the difficulty of the theorems that Euclid expected him to grasp. The king insisted that there had to be an easier way to approach the subject. We're told that Euclid gently rebuked the king with these words. He said, "Sire, there is no royal road to geometry." We could say there seems something in all of us that also prefers the easier way, a way that is less challenging, one that doesn't ask so much of us. There are days, surely, when we can sympathize with the many people who left Jesus high and dry. So maybe that question that our Lord asked hits close to home. Do you also want to leave? Then, as we see, Peter answers Jesus with a question of his own. Peter, always the representative of the 12, asks a question that goes to the heart of the matter. "Master, to whom shall we go?" We want to ponder that question that Peter puts before us. To whom shall we go? Clearly, we know there are other options, many of which we may not find as demanding as following the Lord Jesus. We see people opt out of Christianity all the time. We ourselves may have taken a detour or two in our lives when we look at other available options. Maybe we pursue the path of personal success rather than seeking success in the eyes of Jesus. Or we put ourselves first for too long a time before we realize such selfishness doesn't get us closer to God. Maybe we lost faith in God for whatever reason. and looked elsewhere for something or someone that we could put in place of God. We've seen the options. The British writer C.S. Lewis once offered this thought on the whole matter. As someone who only found his way to Christianity after a circuitous path, he said, "I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." Lewis makes a good point for us. We hear Peter pose a similar question. "Master, to whom shall we go?" Really, it all comes down to one thing. And here we hear Peter take a clear position. He says to the Lord, "We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." With those few words, we find the central belief of Christianity. Jesus is the Holy One of God, sent from heaven to show us a Father's love for us and to ask us to share that love with one another. We could say it another way. Jesus put us on the path to salvation. Kathleen Norris, a well-respected spiritual writer in our own times, was once asked in a public talk how she could get so much comfort from a religion that seemed to do just about as much harm as good. Norris offered her reasons for sticking with Jesus. She said, "Look, as far as I'm concerned, this religion has saved my life, my husband's life, and our marriage. So it's not comfort that I'm talking about, but salvation." That's the word she used, salvation. As she learned, and as Peter learned, and as we learn if we stay with Jesus, finally it's a matter of salvation. We come to that moment of decision where we commit ourselves to the Lord and His way of life in this world because we believe He can save us. Save us from ourselves. Save us from the evil that surrounds us. Save us from all the needless mistakes and wrong turns that we all make in life. "We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Again, that's the bottom line. So as we conclude today, chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, that we have listened to for 5 Sundays in a row, and we want to remember it is the second longest chapter in the New Testament. It is, as we can see, a very important chapter. This long discourse on the bread of life, the bread sent down from heaven to nourish us. The conversation between the Lord Jesus and the 12 now invites us to a decision. To follow Jesus despite the difficulties, or to go back to our former way of life, as did many others in the gospel. For those of us who stay with Jesus, we do it because we believe He is the way, the truth, and the life.